Well, good morning, Lakeside. Tell you, nothing beats singing unto the Lord with all you people. Let me tell you, praise the Lord for that this morning. In fact, I got to get a quick drink because I was singing loud. You guys sound great. Just want to tell you that. So thankful to see each and every one of you here this morning. Just praising the Lord that we can be together this morning. So we started back last week, we started back into our series on the Gospel of John, good news in a bad news world. And Dave, we picked it back up in John 14, and Pastor Dave reminded us where we were, and that was that it's the night before Jesus goes to the cross. And Jesus now has just had the Passover with his disciples in the upper room. One of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, he's off betraying Jesus at this point. And all the other disciples are troubled in their hearts. But Jesus had some good news for them, amen? Jesus had the good news for them last week about how he was going to go away. And if he's going away, he's going to prepare a place and he will come again to them. And then he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through me, Jesus said, and gave them that great news. And today in John chapter 14, we're going to look at another important gift that Jesus is giving the disciples to help them in their troubled heart in the days ahead and to encourage them, and that gift being the helper, the Holy Spirit. And so this morning we're going to look at the helper, the Holy Spirit. Will you join me in a word of prayer before we dive into God's word? Father, thank you so much for the privilege it is to gather together today and sing praises unto you and to worship you in spirit and in truth, God. Lord, I'm reminded this morning, and God, thank you for the reminder this morning, that I am just a beggar showing other beggars where to find bread. I am unworthy to proclaim your word, but God, because of Jesus, I can stand up here in the Holy Spirit's power and your power and share your word. God, thank you for the privilege it is to open your word. Lord, I pray if there's one here today that has never fully surrendered their life to you, God, I pray today that you would use the good news of Jesus in their life in such a way that they wouldn't be allowed to leave this place before surrendering it all to you. And Lord, I pray for the rest of us as believers, God, we come here today with troubled hearts, with things hanging on us weighing us down, Lord, today. And God, you've given us the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that your word would encourage us today and we'd go from this place changed because of what we learned from you and your word. We love you today in Christ's name, amen. I'd invite you to open up your copy of God's word, whichever way you have that copy, digital, whatever, and open that up to John chapter 14 with me. Picking it up back in John chapter 14, and our scripture reading today starts in John chapter 14, verse 15. And so I'm going to read for you John chapter 14, 15 through 31. Jesus says in verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, and the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the word of the Lord. And leave the copy of God's word open before you in John chapter 14, because I want you to put your eyes on what we discussed today. Jesus is giving to his disciples this great gift, and he's promising it to them, this gift of the Helper. The Helper. And the Helper is the Holy Spirit. That's who this is. It's the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And that word is a word that only the Apostle John uses in all of the Bible. John's the only one that uses this word, and it's the word paraclete, which means comforter. Remember, don't let your hearts be troubled, disciples. I'm going to send you another helper, a comforter, which means strong one who comes alongside. So thankful for that ministry right there. That's enough right there today, isn't it? Strong one who comes alongside. And so what Jesus says to his disciples that night is, he says this. He says, I'm leaving. Jesus is leaving, but the Father, who's the source, will send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, in my name, and I'm the mediator. I'm the one who makes it possible for you as sinful humans to go to the Father. And I'm giving you another helper, the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're going to concentrate on today, is this promise of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, and what three of his ministries are to the disciples. So here we go. We're going to look at these three ministries of the Helper, of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about how he reveals the problem of sin, how he reveres the supremacy of Christ, and then how he renovates the life of the believer. So let's look right away at the first one together. First ministry that we're going to talk about today of the Holy Spirit is that he reveals the problem of sin. I want to show you this from the passage. Now, I read John chapter 14, 15 through 31, but we're also going to flip ahead just a little bit to the end of John chapter 15 and into 16, because Jesus once again goes back to the Helper and talks about this Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit once again in chapter 16. So I encourage you, take your Bible, have it open in John 14, then flip the one page over to John 16 as we go through those things. So let's look at this. He reveals the problem of sin. John 14, 17. Jesus says, even the Spirit of truth, that's who I'm sending. He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. So he's the Spirit of truth. Now, you and I both know in the culture of our day today, what is truth, right? That's the question out there. What is truth? In fact, there's some out there who have made the absolute truth and have said, by making the absolute truth, there is no absolute truth, they tell us. Well, that's all wrong, because there is truth. And as we talked about last week, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the main truth that he is conveying is a truth about sin. Look over at 16 with me, John chapter 16, and verses 8 through 11. And put your eyes on this, because he explains even more, and I want to explain some more to you as well. So verse 8, Jesus says, "And when he comes," the Holy Spirit, "when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world," those unbelievers, those ones living for themselves, "he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." And so concerning sin, notice that John uses a singular word for sin, one sin. And I believe that that sin, this is the sin that condemns everybody to an eternity in hell, separated for all eternity from God. And that sin being not believing in Jesus. Unbelief is the sin. It says it right there in verse 9, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And then verse 10, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. He's saying while he was there on that earth, the one thing Jesus was constantly doing with Pharisees, with the disciples, with everybody he came in contact with, he was constantly showing them that there is no way that they could earn on their own favor with God. In and of their own righteousness, they couldn't do it. And so he was exposing the lie of self-righteousness. There is not one thing or many things or a list of things that you and I can do to earn our way to heaven. It's only by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. And then look with me at verse 11 concerning judgment. Because of the ruler of this world is judge. You remember back in 14 when he told the disciples, "I'm not going to talk to you much longer because the ruler of the world is coming. But he has no claim on me," amen? The ruler of the world is Satan. And he's saying here, the ruler of the world is judged. And what took place at the cross is that Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. And judgment is sure, and it can go either way. You can have the judgment of life, eternal life, for those who are in Christ. Or it's judgment, eternal death, separated from God for all eternity, apart from Christ. Hebrews says, "For his appointed men to die once, and then the judgment." And so the judgment is sure. And this is what the Holy Spirit reveals to all of us. He reveals the problem of sin. That's one of his ministries, is revealing the problem of sin. To an unbeliever, the helper is on the outside of that unbeliever, waiting to get in by showing their sin to them and God's righteousness, God's holiness. The helper helps them come along to learn that there's nothing they can do to earn favor with God, that they have to depend on Jesus. And the truth that because of their sin, he helps them along to understand that because of their sin and God's holiness, there is a judgment that's to be faced. And that judgment is either you're in Christ, therefore enter into an eternity with God himself, or you're apart from Christ and you enter into an eternity of hell separated from Christ. So the first ministry of the Holy Spirit is to reveal the problem of sin. The second one then is that the Holy Spirit reveres the supremacy of Christ. He celebrates it. He pushes it. He shows it. He's all about the supremacy of Christ. Look at verse 26 of chapter 14. Go back with me to chapter 14. In verse 26, it says, "When the helper comes," Jesus says, "he will bear witness about me." He'll bear witness about me. He's sent in my name, it says. He'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And then you go to chapter 16 again, in verse 14, John 16, 14. And Jesus says, he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and he'll declare it to you. You see what John is saying here? He's saying the Holy Spirit's role is to revere the supremacy of Christ. And how he does that is through the word of Christ. What Jesus has taught his disciples, what he's spoken to them, he says the Holy Spirit's going to teach you these things. It's going to reveal an understanding to those things. And it's through the word. And that takes me back to John chapter 1, where right at the beginning of this gospel, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later on in verse 14 of John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus. You see, it's true, there is a trinity of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all God, but they have three separate roles. And the role of the Holy Spirit, the helper, is to show how Christ is supreme, to point everyone to the Son, to Christ. You know, there are many churches out there, especially in the Pentecostal movement, that they've taken the Holy Spirit and they've elevated him above Jesus. They've made it all about the Spirit and not all about Jesus, which is to ignore the truth that the Holy Spirit, one of the Holy Spirit's main role in the Godhead Trinity, is to elevate Jesus above all. You see it. You're like, oh, you'll be healed by the Spirit if you have enough faith. No, it's not about the Spirit, it's about Jesus. Oh, you need to receive the Holy Spirit. You need to show some fruit of that Holy Spirit somehow and conjure up whatever way to do that. No, it's about Jesus. The Holy Spirit would not want his name lifted higher than the Son's name, Jesus. So look at these first two with me that we talked about. The Holy Spirit reveals the problem of sin. So he's on the outside of the unbeliever, revering the supremacy of Christ by showing them that there is a way to escape the judgment, and it is to opening the door to Christ, who's knocking on the door of their hearts. Because he's the one that took the judgment that we deserve upon himself at the cross, and he paid our sin debt in full. And that's what the Holy Spirit is constantly pushing humans to. Whether he's on the outside for an unbeliever or he's in the inside with the believer, he's constantly revering the supremacy of Jesus. So the first one to review, first ministry of the helpers, to reveal the problem of sin. The second one was to revere the supremacy of Christ. It's all about Jesus. And then the third ministry of the helper that we're looking at today is that he renovates the life of the believer. He renovates the life of the believer. And oh, how I love that image. I love that wording, because I bought an old house. My wife and I bought an old house. It's over 100 years old. And I'll tell you, it was renovated a little bit when we moved in there, but there was a lot more problems too, and we've been renovating it ever since. But we love that. We're drawn to that, to take something old and make it new. And that's a beautiful picture of what the Holy Spirit does in a human's life, in one of our lives that receives Jesus. He renovates the life of the believer. Look with me at these passages back in John 14. Bounce back to John 14 with me. Put your eyes on the scripture. This is God's word, not mine. John 14, 17. He once again, as we talked about, he says, I will ask the Father in 16, he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. See, hear those words? Dwells in you. and will be with you. He takes up residence in the believer. Go on to verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans, Jesus says. That is a powerful word. The word orphans means comfortless, abandoned, one who's not abandoned. He's not going to leave us. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I will not leave you abandoned. I will not leave you as orphans. Aren't you thankful for that today, believer? I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And how he comes to us is in the form of the Holy Spirit, in with the Holy Spirit. That's how he comes to us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, in verse 19. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And then in that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me. Three words, you in me. That's salvation. When somebody comes to the realization that they're a sinner and the only way to go to God is through Jesus, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved, then it says there, those words, right? It says, you will be in me. I'm in Christ today. We talk about that, how I'm in Christ today if I'm saved, if I'm a believer. And then you have this phrase, so in that day, you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. That's the Holy Spirit. And what that is the big word of sanctification. The Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in our lives, and he changes us from the inside out. So thankful for that. But it starts with him being at home in me. And once again, verse 23, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That's a mark of a genuine believer. If you truly love Jesus and love him, you will keep his word. The Holy Spirit will make sure of that. That's a genuine mark of a believer. If you genuinely have believed on Lord Jesus Christ, it will be followed up by obedience. So if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we, I love this, get this, we, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we will come to him and make our home with him. And that's done through the person of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Look at what we have as believers. We have a God who loves us so much that he sent his one only son to die for us, and so we can live for him for all eternity. But not only that, but we have a God who wants to enter into our lives personally and take up residence in our lives and be at home in us. And not only that, but then he gently comes along and changes us and transforms us. Look at verse 26 and 27 of John 14. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he'll bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. And then he ends it, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And that peace comes in through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And so listen carefully to this. Once we open the door to our heart to Jesus, then he comes in through the Holy Spirit and he makes his home in us. Now, let me be clear. Yes, the disciples at this point, right where we are in the scripture right now, at this point, the disciples had Jesus right there, had him right there. And Jesus was promising future tense, the Holy Spirit will come. And so the disciples had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come after Jesus left. There was this transition. Jesus was going to the cross. He was going to pay the debt of sin in full on the cross. Then he was going to rise again the third day and appear to them and live with them for a while. And then he was going to ascend and go away to heaven. And he told the disciples before he ascended into heaven, he told the disciples, go and wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the promised one. So they had to wait for the Holy Spirit. Then, right there in that scripture where we are, they had to wait. The good news is today is when one receives the free gift of salvation by faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is given at the same time. Don't miss that, believer. Don't miss that, unbeliever. Don't miss that. When you put your faith and trust and you rest fully on Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your rescuer, you not only get eternal life right away, but you get the Holy Spirit instantly right into your life, taking up a residence in you and changing you and transforming you. You do not have to go through the waters of baptism to receive the Holy Spirit. You do not have to do something where you're like talking in tongues or whatever to receive the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do it. Those are lies from the pit of hell. You receive the Holy Spirit when you receive Jesus as your Savior. I am so thankful for that today. So thankful for that today. And then once the Holy Spirit comes in and he takes up residence, guess what? We are all fixer-uppers, aren't we? Let the demo begin. Let the demo begin. John 14, 26, it talks about that transformation. And after that demo, after he starts that initial transformation in our life and takes us from death to life, what then he does is he spends our lifetime making all things new and transforming our heart better than any Chip and Joanne Gaines could ever do. I'm so thankful for that. You know, as I was talking about this with Dave and just discussing it, we do this. It's so good. Iron sharpening iron among the pastors here. I love it. And I was talking about my sermon. He's like, oh, this just rings to mind Chip and Joanne Gaines. I'm like, yes. Okay. Good. Glad. All right. And he goes, I can't help but think of the big billboard that they put in front of the house when they're about to reveal it, and it shows the old house. And then they reveal and they show the new house. And Joel, I can't help but think of my life before Christ, even after I receive Christ, how that billboard's right there, and then God moves that billboard away, and I see who I am today in Christ, and how he's transforming, and how he is transforming, and I just stand back, and I give a better review than any of those people on that show. Wow! Praise God for what he's done. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says this. He says, but when one turns to the Lord, maybe that's somebody in here today that needs to turn to the Lord. But when one is turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face as believers, beholding the glory of the Lord, of Jesus, are being transformed in the same image of Jesus from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit. That transformation happens in our lives through the Holy Spirit. He comes in, he demos, and he renovates our lives. Amen? So thankful for that. All right, let me close this up. I need another drink. Wow. Let me close this up with some very practical application this morning. So what we've seen this morning, where we've been, is we've seen that the Holy Spirit reveals the problem of sin. He reveres the supremacy of Christ, and he renovates the life of the believer. This ministry, these ministries that the Holy Spirit does, they're all done through himself, the person, the Holy Spirit, but they're all done through the Word. They're all done through this book right here, the Word of God. And that's where there's an action step that we can take. That's where there's an action step that we can take. Now it's fall here in Central Iowa, right? Amen? It's fall. Everybody's like, oh, winter's coming. Okay, but it's fall right now. One of the things that goes along with fall is the falling leaves, right? And if you're anything like me and you have mature trees in your yard and you have a whole bunch of leaves all over the grass, you have to do something to those leaves. You have to rake them up, right? So we rake the leaves. When my kids were younger, we'd do this together as a family. We made it a family activity. Here's how I did it, you younger parents with younger kids, okay? You get yourself a whole bunch of rakes, you give your kids rakes, say, we're gonna make the biggest pile of leaves in the whole entire world. It's gonna be awesome, come on. So you do that, you rake them all up, you give them a big pile, and then you take your pickup, if you don't have one, you can borrow mine, and you back it up to the pile of leaves, and you take the first plunge into the pile of leaves, dads. Okay, you do that. You jump in the pile of leaves. It's called tailgate hopping. It's a blast. My kids love it. They don't do it anymore, but it's a blast. It was great when they were little. But after all that tailgate hopping's done, we have this great time. Something still has to be done with those leaves. So I put them behind my garage. And then a few days later, when I'm just thinking, wow, it's a nice day, it's dry out, the leaves are probably all dry, I need to get rid of those. And as every good small town Iowan does, I burn my leaves. Okay, I don't know what the bag thing is and paying for a sticker to get rid of your leaves. No, okay? No, burn them, okay? Okay, maybe not. I don't know what Polk City rules, but anyway. So I had this big pile of leaves and I had a match, dry leaves, plenty of fuel for the fire, those dry leaves. I had the match, the igniter. And I thought, I looked at that and I'm like, you know what? I don't have a lot of time today. We're gonna make this go faster. I proceeded to grab a gas can out of my garage. Took a gas can out of my garage and I started dumping gasoline on it. 1 gallon, 2 gallons, I don't know. It was fun. I just kept on going. And I got ready and I was like, whoa, wait. I've heard stories, I've seen videos of people who do this and it's not good when they're standing over it. So, light bulb. I decide to make a trail of gasoline. Make my own fuse of gasoline. Probably another gallon in the fuse there, okay? And I took that match, and I remember, remember that. Take that match, and I struck it, and I threw it down to the ground, and that thing went, whoo! My heart just thumped right in my chest, and I was like, whoo! My wife, who's 60 feet in her office and the other side of the garage, comes running out of the garage. What are you doing? Are you okay? What were you thinking? And I'm just standing there. Fire. Ooh. There is a point to this story. I want to get to the point, okay? I want to get to the point of the story here because it's not just a fun story, you know it is. Listen carefully. The word of God is the fuel of the dry leaves. The Holy Spirit is the igniter and that wind and the oxygen that lights those leaves and empowers the word of God. What the action step is for me to do and for you to do today and every day of our lives is to expose myself to the word, which is the gasoline to the fire. The Bible is the fuel that the Holy Spirit ignites so that we can become more like Jesus and make much of him. And I've seen this work out. I've seen this work out in an unbeliever's life where Jesus had been knocking on the door of their heart and the Holy Spirit was testifying and revering the supremacy of Christ and revealing the problem of sin to them. And I've seen it in an unbeliever's life through our Starting Point growth group study, which goes through the stranger on the road to Emmaus, which is an overview of the word of God. And God, through the Holy Spirit and his word, starts to reveal truth to them. And then we get one of the greatest privileges and the most humbling privilege that God has given us is to come alongside with them in a meeting and pour an accelerant onto the fire that is starting by going through an underlying New Testament with them and showing them verse by verse how they're a sinner, how the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I've seen it. And you know what happens when we pour that accelerant on them? I just saw it a couple weeks ago in a young couple's life. They light up. They're like, yes, I need this. I've been missing this my life. I need it in my life. I need Jesus. And they receive Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes in, takes up residence and transforms them. So thankful for that. I've also seen this at work out in a believer's life, in my own personal life. The Holy Spirit is using the word of God in my life weekly as we sit here and we hear sermons from the word of God. And then during the week, I pour on the accelerant by exposing myself daily to the word. And I light up. I see connections to my daily life from God's word. And then I find myself being led by the Spirit more and not led by the flesh. So if you are here today, if you're here today and you are still an unbeliever, and you know it, the Holy Spirit's been working in your life, drawing you to God himself through Jesus, and you've been coming to church, and we're thankful for that. Thank you for coming. Would you please choose today to let Jesus in? And his Holy Spirit then will come in to your life, and he'll start the renovation. You can do that right where you're sitting right now. Just simply admit that you're a sinner and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But if you are hesitant to this morning, if you're still holding out, would you allow us, before you leave, don't leave this place, would you allow us, if you're hesitant, would you allow us the opportunity to pour on the accelerant of God's word and show you straight from his word how you can go from death to life today? Don't leave without making that decision, whether it's at your seat or you come talk to one of us. We'd love to talk with you. I can't think of anything better I want to do with my time than to share how Jesus can take you from death to life. And then, my brothers and sisters in Christ, would you today, along with me, commit to adding the accelerant of the daily intake of God's word to the Spirit who is renovating you through the word? The majority, if not all, the opportunities I have to counsel people who come in struggling in their relationship with Christ, the majority of those opportunities will start with personal intake of God's word because of what it does and how it changes, how the Holy Spirit uses the word and changes the believer. It starts there. When we abandon our personal intake of God's word, and when we live sermon to sermon, we are trying to douse the Holy Spirit in our life. And if we continue living sermon to sermon, our old self, our flesh, will win out more and more. But I have good news for you. As a genuine believer, we will never be able to completely douse the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we are genuine believers, we will not be able to douse completely the Holy Spirit in our lives. But when we stop intaking God's word and we start living more and more by the flesh, we open ourselves up for God to break us. And he will, because that's what he does for his kids. Praise God he does that in my life. Praise God he does it in your life. And if you and I genuinely desire to grow in our relationship with God through Christ, the importance of personal intake of God's word cannot be overstated. Turn the word up in your life this week and watch what the Holy Spirit will do with it. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Oh, you're such a good God. You're a good, good Father. Thank you for sending your one and only Son, because you loved us so much, because you saw us in our sin where we could never be in your presence, because you're a perfect God. And you sent your Son who lived a perfect life, and you went to the cross and became sin for us, sinless, but sin for us. And your full wrath was satisfied there at the cross. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, our Rescuer, Lord, the name above all names. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he's risen, Lord. Thank you then that when we put our full trust and belief in Christ and Christ alone, that he's the only way to you, that your Holy Spirit enters into our lives and does a work, a transforming work. Lord, I pray for the one who's here today who hasn't fully surrendered their life to you. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, through your word, would be fanning the flame, would be burning brightly in their heart, Lord, and that you would not let them leave this place today without receiving Jesus. And Lord, those of us who have received Jesus and fully surrendered our life to you, God, may you please push us to your word. It's not by feelings I live. It's not by anything else, God, that I live, circumstances, those things. It's by your word. Push me to your word this week so that your spirit can make me more like Jesus. We love you today, God. We're so thankful for all we have. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.